If you would like to turn into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, and this takes me back a couple years, about 4 or 5 years. I was coaching, I believe it was a JV game. I don't think any of you guys were involved in that. But anyway, we started playing this game, and we came out flat. I mean, it was bad. We weren't rebounding. We were playing poor defense. It looked like, anyway, we were playing bad. In no time, the score was 8-0. Timeout. Okay. If anybody doesn't know what that means timeout. It means you stop the game and we got to talk. So we got the guys. I got the guys in a little circle and I'm down here like this. And I'm like, guys, you guys are sleeping. You didn't even get out of bed yet. Looks like you're in concrete. They're blowing by us. And I really gave them an earful. I did. And after the game, which I think we lost, I asked the guys, I said, so what did we learn? Is there anything we learned today? Without hesitation, one of the students calmly said, he thinks we need to be more positive. Oh. He didn't say any names. He didn't look at me right in the eye, but I knew where that was coming, where that was headed for. And so with that, we want to look at our topic this morning. If you're in Acts 4, we want to look at verse 36. And 37. And that'll be our starting point for the message this morning. Verse 36 says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So if you want to, if you're taking notes and want to have a sermon title, we're going to just simply say Barnabas, son of encouragement. And I read this out of the New Living Translation. In the King James, it says his surname was Barnabas. Here it says nickname. How many of you through your life have had nicknames? Okay, I see some hands coming up. A lot of you. Okay. How did that make you feel? Depending what the name was. And I there's some pretty nasty names out there. And I, being the youngest of my family, in fact, my sisters were 7 years older. My oldest brother was 12 years older than I. Now, there's advantages of being the youngest. You kind of got treated maybe with easier, my son Ryan, he always claims that he got treated rough because he was the firstborn. But anyway, but I got a lot of nicknames and it didn't really bother me. They were, a lot of them didn't mean a lot. Anything from Bluey to Corn Cob. When I was in school and played baseball, I was called Farmer because I was a farmer. My daughter, she started calling me Pops. And this is how that came about. One day she was trying to get my attention. She said, Dad. And I don't know how many times she said it. And finally she got frustrated. She said, Pops. And then I heard. And so now she said, well, the only name you answer is Pops. But there was one nickname that I had. And it was called, my older brother gave this to me. He called me the commish. Now, commish was short for commissioner. Now, if some of you guys that know sports, basketball has a commissioner, baseball has a commissioner, and they kind of oversee everything and make the rules. Well, the reason I was given the name commish is because I was pretty competitive, and the only way I could beat my older brothers if I made the rules to favor me. So So if you ever want to call me the commish, I will not be offended. But anyway, I say all that to say that Barnabas was Joseph's nickname. And I'm pretty sure that he felt pretty good about his nickname because it was son of encouragement. And today, we want to talk about that. We want to talk about what Barnabas was like and kind of do a character study and then move on into how we can encourage each other. We all need encouragement. We struggle at times. And to have someone stand with us, as Matt was talking about, giving us wisdom. And it's very, very vital that we have that. And so as we go through the Christian life, we want to have encouragement in our lives. If we move on to Acts 9, and in fact, it is interesting, as I was studying Barnabas, you can turn to Acts 9 a while. Barnabas is probably one of the most talked about individuals in Acts other than Paul. But if you go to Acts 9, and I won't read it, but 9:27, we have the instance of where Paul was converted, and he went back to Jerusalem and wanted to, talk to the disciples. He wanted to be accepted by the disciples because he was preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. But the believers there in Jerusalem, Paul was the persecutor. He went to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And so they were really afraid of Paul. They were thinking he's some kind of spy that was going to spy on them and turn them in. So they were afraid. Well, Barnabas stood up for Paul, and he said, I've seen Paul preach. He's preaching boldly. He's preaching truth. And because of that, he was accepted with the believers. Now let's turn, and we do want to read this. Let's turn to Acts 11. And this is the key verses that we want to have, and you could call these the text verses if you're keeping notes. And again, I will be reading from New Living Translation. If we back up just before these verses, Acts 11, verses 23 and 24. But if we back up, we see that the believers were scattered. And in Antioch, they started preaching to the Gentiles. And so this was something new. And they were wondering, what's happening there. And so they sent Barnabas to go see what was going on. And actually, I'm going to back up to verse 22. When the church of Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Verse 24, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Two vital verses here, and we want to spend a good bit of time focusing on this. He saw God working in that church. Now, I'm kind of curious because these were Gentiles, I'm kind of curious, the Bible doesn't really say, but it probably was a little bit of a different experience than what Barnabas had experienced back in Jerusalem or other places. But he saw the Lord working in that congregation, in that church there. And because of that, he was joyful. And he encouraged them, he encouraged them to stay true. And we need that. There are times in our life, it's like, God, you're not working. And we need that encouragement, keep the faith, keep the faith. In verse 24, and we want to spend a good bit of time on there, and because I'm a teacher, I'm going to need some of your input here. Okay. In verse 24, there's three things that we see that Barnabas had. First of all, he was a good man. Second of all, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. So, and no offense to the ladies here, if we you know, we're talking about a man, but you can see this in ladies as well. What do you think of when you think about a good man or a good woman? This is your time to talk.
Honesty.
Honesty. Okay. Go ahead. Dependable. Okay, someone who thinks of others. Whoa, 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 whoa. Too many people one time. Go ahead. Okay, okay. Somebody over here. Oh, okay, go ahead, Harvey. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, keep them coming. There's more. Genuine, okay. Integrity.
Respectful.
Respectful. Okay. Anything else? Kind. Anything else? Okay, you hit my list pretty good. We don't know a lot about Barnabas, but we can imagine. One of the things we do know is he was giving. He sold a field and laid it at the apostles' feet. The Bible says he was obviously thinking of others because he was basically a mentor to Paul. There was a time where he saw a need and he went and got Paul and brought him back so Paul could teach. I think Barnabas is one of those guys behind the scenes that, and I know some people that are like that, they don't like all the fanfare, but they make other people look good. They support them. They encourage them. They try to put them in right places to make them look good. I think a humility was mentioned. Very, very, very so. I think Barnabas was humble. Now, what I'd like you to do, and don't say names, but I would like you to think of two or three people that you would say, that's a good man, or that's a good woman. And think of all the, you don't have to blur them out, but just want to take a moment to do that. I can, and I've thought about this before, I know, but I can think of a couple people that, wow, they are trustworthy. I could trust them with my possessions, with my family. I could trust them that if I share something, they would keep it confidential. I could, they support me. They encourage me. They speak into my life. Those are the types of things that I'm thinking about. And so as we think of someone that's good, we all need to, you know, we don't all have maybe those attributes, but we can work towards them, through the Holy Spirit, through the love of Jesus. We can, work towards those attributes and become a good man or a good woman. The second thing that we see that Barnabas was, and Harold touched on it just a little bit, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now this here, I think we could spend a whole message on, and maybe sometime
one of us should. What does it really mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? And I want to hear your comments. Okay. And that's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. Okay. I think that's good. And you can share those evidences of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
In tune with God.
Okay. In tune with God. Very good. How do we do that? How are we in tune with God? That's a really, really good point. When something is in tune, it's harmonious. It goes together. When a piano, I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer too much, but I can jump on a piano and hit a couple keys, and I soon know if it's not in tune. And it's like, this thing needs tuning. And so what does that mean? It means that we are, our thoughts, and I think Matt touched on a little bit, our desires. We have the fleshly desires, and then we have the Holy Spirit working in us. Are we in tune with what God wants us to do? Good point. What else? How do we know if we're full of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Yes. That's a challenge. It's a challenge. Are we desiring to be like Christ? Anything else?
To be full of the Spirit would mean to be empty of self.
Okay. Yes. I had to think. You know, we sing that children's song, my cup is running over, you know, running over, my cup is full and running over. But that can have very significant implications for us adults as well. Are we filled with God's word? Are we into his word? Are we into the scripture and focusing on him? Anything else? I think by doing that, we can sense the leading of the Spirit. We find a glimpse, and again, there's so much to learn on this, but we find a glimpse in Acts 13. If we would, I'm going to read the first five verses there in Acts 13. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, which is the same Barnabas, called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Man, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I think that's a little bit of a glimpse. If we are worshiping, or if we are praying, if we are fasting, I think we can be full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will indwell in us. And it says there, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work for which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So by being in that worshipful spirit, by seeking God, you know, the Bible says that if we seek him, you know, we will find. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to lead us in what we say and what we do, I am confident that he will do that. So he will help us to know what to say. Have you ever visited with someone or shared with someone, and it's like you had no really clue what to say or how to say it, but afterwards you're like, I can't believe I said what I did, because it was the Holy Spirit working in you. And that's why it's very vital to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. The last thing that it says that Barnabas was he was strong in faith. Here's your turn. What does strong in faith mean? If we're strong in faith, what evidence of that be? Attitude through a hard time. Yes. Just a quick story, Dan. Several weeks ago, the wheat was becoming ready to harvest. Prices were good. And I was anxious for the wheat harvest. And yet the corn needed rain. And so I was like, this is great. The corn needs rain. If it rains, that's great. Corn gets the rain. If it doesn't rain, that's great. The wheat will get ready. Guess what? It was hot, humid, didn't rain. Couldn't get the wheat in. I was losing faith. and the Lord reminded me, just trust. And the wheat's done. The rain came, and not as much as Jay Weaver got, but Jay, I don't know, Jay lives right or something, but he's getting all the rain that we miss. But our faith is challenged, and I appreciate that, Dan. That's when it gets tough. It's easy to have faith when things are going great, but when it gets tough, you know, that's when it challenges, and that's good. We need to be challenged. Anyone else? What does it mean to be strong in faith? Bible also says that we walk by faith and not sight. And that's hard for us. I think especially in the time that we live, everything is connected. We have lots of wisdom out there. We have lots of insurance. We have things like that. And we do not need to trust in God and walk by faith. Thank you, Harold. There's numerous other things. Go ahead. I'm anxious to hear what you think about being strong in faith. Okay. Thank you, Harvey. I think that's very important, because like Harvey said, you hear the comment, well, that he's a person of faith. Well, what faith, you know? But we have faith in Christ, that he was resurrected, which is very important, but that he's returning, as we talked about this morning. Anyone else? Two examples that we have in the New Testament, and there's numerous, we could almost all the way through the Gospels, we have examples of faith or little faith. And one example is found in Luke 7. And this is where the centurion had a slave. One of his slaves was very, very sick, near death. And so he sent some people to Jesus to come and heal him. The centurion sent guys back again. He said, you don't need to come. He said, I'm a man of authority. I say to this person, go, and this person come, and they do that. He said, just say the word and I believe that my slave will be healed. And so Jesus did that. And the very hour, the Bible says, the very hour that he was healed. And Jesus made his comment that I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. So he had very, very strong faith. Then another example in Luke chapter 8 is when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. And we, you know, familiar story, the storm was raging and the disciples were afraid and Jesus was sleeping. And Jesus asked, you know, he calmed the storm and then he made the comment, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. And I think sometimes, you know, we need to ask. Sometimes our faith is weak and we need to ask God, you know, Lord, strengthen my faith. And I believe he will. I believe he'll strengthen our faith because we ask, he will provide. So we see these three things. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was strong in faith. Now, the question is, how do we become like Barnabas? Is it possible? Sometimes you see this individual, we talked about a good man, and it's like, oh man, I just cannot be that, I can't be that person. It just can't happen. Because it's like way up here and I can't attain that. Well, the thought I'd like to present to you is that we need to grow. We need to grow. And God will help us with that. And I think too many times as a Christian, we get saved, we become a Christian, we become a church member, and then we like, okay, we're good. God wants us to grow. So vital. As a farmer, when we plant corn, I get a custom guy to plant my corn, but he doesn't come and plant the corn and then I forget about it and go on vacation for the rest of the summer. I'm out there looking. I'm anxious to see that first spike coming through the ground. I'm looking to see if there's weeds out there that need to be sprayed. I'm looking to see if it needs more nitrogen, whatever it needs. I am there trying to do whatever I can to make that baby grow. There's a small baby. If that baby would not grow, we would be concerned. If it wouldn't be putting on weight, we would be concerned. And as a Christian, we need to grow. Someone has said that you're never at the same point. You're either growing or you're regressing. And I think that's true. And so as a Christian, we want to grow. So how can we encourage other people? And how can we be encouraged? We all need that encouragement. And we all have the ability to encourage other people. And so what do we want to do? What can we do to accomplish this? I invite your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There is some, I think, some vital verses here that we want to look at. And this is what my desire for us as a church is, that we would be an encouragement to each other, that we would bless each other, that we would see some vital characteristic in someone and say, Lord, I want to bless you for that. I want to ask that the God would use that ability for his kingdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. We'll start at verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And so it's very, very important that we have each other. I think so many times we try to do things on our own. And us men are probably more, you know, the ladies, you know, you tend to chat more and talk more and work each other, you know, help each other, encourage each other. Us men, we're like, I can do this on my own. And we get in trouble sometimes. Our ego gets us in trouble. By the way, I don't know if I shared this before, but I came across this in actually the book that we're working on. Ego stands for edging God out, E-G-O, okay? Edging God out. So if you ever feel like you have an ego and think about that. You're edging God out. So what I'd like to do is demonstrate this concept of helping each other out. In verse 12 here, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. So I need some youth to help me out. I need a couple guys. Who would like to volunteer? I need a guy to volunteer. Come on. If I had $10 here, all right, Riley, you get up here. Okay. Riley is alone. Okay. Now, remember, we are talking spiritual battles here. The Bible tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. So Riley is alone. Okay, now he needs a weapon, though. All right, I brought some weapons here. This is plastic. Okay, so, all right, so he is alone. I actually stand here like this. Hold your weapon up. Okay, now, the enemies, Satan, can attack him. Okay, he's fighting off the enemy on this side, but nobody has his back, so to speak. Okay, did you ever hear that? You know, I got your back. Okay, so I need another volunteer. Jesse, you need to be up here. Okay, Jesse's going to have his back. He's going to stand back here like that, and he's going to fend off Satan's attacks on this side. Okay, now the scripture says three are even better. So we need a third one. Alex, come on, get up here. All right, so we got enemies coming from this side, so Alex is going to stand there. Now, please don't, the scripture says three. I'm not adding to the scripture, please, but let's get a fourth guy. Andre, yeah, we need you up here. All right, Alex is defending, Jesse's there, Andre's here. All right, look at this. Four guys, and they're defending off the enemy. They've got their backs together, and because four people are working together, they can encourage each other, they can help each other, they can pray for each other, and they can defeat the enemy, which is Satan. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, so some of you have, we've talked a little bit about it, haven't talked a whole lot about it, but starting in March, there's been two, what we call accountability groups. It has been a tremendous encouragement to me. And what we meet about once every other week, and for about an hour, we try to keep it to an hour. And it has, again, I'll repeat, it's been a blessing. I know the alarm goes off and it's like, don't want to, it's early, I'm tired. But when I come home, I'm like recharged. I'm ready to go. I have three other brothers that I can talk with, I can share with, I can pour out my frustrations. I can, you know, maybe if there's something coming up this week that that I need special prayer for, we pray together. We pray for each other. We also hold each other accountable. Have we been in the Word? Have we been zealous for God? What are we looking at? Is it worthwhile? Is it pornography? And we hold each other accountable in that. And so what I'd like to do this morning is just to encourage you and challenge you. We would actually like to get more groups going. And this could look differently. We meet early mornings. It's because we all agreed that we would do that. Some of the guys have families, and you know, morning just seems to work best. We start other groups, you could meet other times, Saturdays, whatever. But we want to make this work because it is vital. We live in a time where there's so much out there. There's discouragement. The Satan is tempting us. And we need to stand together as these four young men were here defending off the enemy. And so I want to encourage you to talk to Dean L. Zimmerman, whose wife's Kendra, or Dwayne. They've been kind of heading it up. And we'd like to get some other groups going if you're interested. Maybe I'm sticking my neck out a little bit farther, but I've been kind of with the men today. But ladies, maybe you could do something as well. At the very least, encourage your husband. Say, yeah, go join a group. That'd be neat. You will benefit from it, I guarantee. Lorene's back there smiling. She benefited. It's a time. It's only an hour every other 2 weeks. Sometimes we even do a conference call, or we can do a video call. I don't know. There's different ways of doing it, but I'm excited about doing it because we need each other. It's confidential. I trust my guys that they don't say what I say. I don't even talk to Lorene about it. So it's very, very confidential because we need to have that confidentiality. We can also speak into your lives, each other's lives. And this is a older men. Oh, by the way, if you're over 63, which I am, you are older. But older men, we need you to speak into the lives of younger men. You have experience. I can speak into the lives of the younger men. I'm the oldest in our group, usually by my mistakes, but I'm like, yeah, I did this. Don't do that. You know, you need to do this. And sometimes I guess maybe give too much advice. I appreciate Matt's comment about maybe just asking questions. So that's good. But anyway, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you and bless you. It's been a blessing to me. And hopefully the message was leading up to this, and I wanted to bring it across to you. I just love it. I love you as a congregation, and I want to bless you in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the character of Barnabas and what he meant, what his character was. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with your goodness, with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, many times our faith is weak. And Lord, you have promised that you will provide good things when we need it. And Father, I just pray that you would bless this congregation. Lord, use each one of us to honor you and to glorify you and to encourage each other, to bless each other. Lord, we all struggle. We all go through rough times at times. The sea is rough. And Lord, you calm the sea. And we can go through it. Lord, we thank you for this. And we ask that you would guide us, lead us in your ways. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.